begin a message out of the book of Genesis and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and really just got to the first point out of four, and I had planned to go back and pick up there and try to finish that message, but the Lord led my heart a different direction this morning. So I want you to take your Bibles in the time we have remaining, and I'll be preaching on this morning and this evening. And take your Bible and go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I want to say thank you to all who came to the funeral yesterday and in support of Sister Jo Slayton, and what a dear saint of God who served here in this church so faithfully for many decades. Miss Jo was just one who could be counted on, and one who would, when her health was able, would be behind the scenes working and serving and doing it just because she loved Jesus and she loved her church. And she will truly be missed, but thank the Lord, as we preached yesterday at her funeral, thank God for the blessed hope of knowing that we shall see her again. And that's the hope that every one of us have. If we have a loved one that has passed on from this world, if they were saved and you're saved, death is not the end. That's the great part about being saved, is this life is, like the Bible said, we're not of most men miserable. We have the blessed hope of knowing. Wouldn't it be a dreadful, just absolutely awful thought to think that this world is, and this life is all we have to look forward to? That's depressing. There's some highlights in life, but overall, if you look at the trajectory of this world and the way it's going at breakneck speed, it's like it's just spiraling down, like when you flush a toilet, it's just going down, and it gets dark and dirty. And it's not going to get any better. I wish I could tell you we're going to experience some great revival, but we're not. According to the Word of God, the Bible says in the last days perilous times shall come, and men's heart will wax cold, and there'll be a great falling away. And we have lived, I heard preachers preach that my whole life, and said there's going to come a day when this will happen. Well, guess what? We've lived long enough to see that day. And so I would encourage you, if you're not saved, I would get saved today. I would not put it off. The road to hell is paved with procrastination. People who said, I will, but not today. I will, but I still got a few more things to do, and I got to clean up, and I got to get better and get ready. Listen, can I just say this, and this ain't part of the message. You will never clean up enough to get saved. That's the whole point of getting saved. You come to Jesus just as you are, a sinner in need of a Savior. That leads us to where we're about to deal with in the Scripture. That's why He came. He came, He said it Himself, He came to seek and to save sinners. He came looking for people who was messed up. He came looking for people who were outcasts and who were down and out. Listen, that's what the whole message I'm preaching about this morning. I'm preaching on the subject, when some shepherds met the shepherd. And Luke chapter number 2, very familiar text, verse number 8. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll reverence God's word as we read it. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. When some shepherds met the shepherd. I'm going to spend some time by way of introduction this morning setting the scene. And I know every one of us have heard this chapter read. We always read it on Christmas at the house and over at my mom and Tommy's. And we read what is known as the Christmas story when Jesus came. And we see, and next week we'll be having a play here at the church. And it'll be portraying exactly what we just read. It happens once a year. We go through this. We read this. We magnify this. And every year of our life around this time, we hear this and read this and hear it preached and sang about. And it becomes familiar, so familiar many times that we lose the wonder of it, and we lose the luster and the glory of this time of the year and what happened. And so by way of introduction, the Christmas season can be a dangerous season. And I'm not referring to shopping at Walmart, though that can be dangerous. But I'm talking more about dangerous in the sense of the Christmas story. It can be dangerous because what I just mentioned, that we can hear it so often that it becomes way too familiar to us. That we hear it and it's just like water off a duck's back. That we hear it and it's just like another story, something that we've always known, something that we've heard over and over and over. And so when we hear of something that has such great magnitude, I mean the greatest magnitude, the greatest event at this time in history that had ever happened in the history of the world, when God robed himself in flesh and came down from heaven and was born of a woman. Amen. And it's a dangerous thing for us to become too familiar with this story. So I want to, every year we hear the same stories told the same ways. We talk about the shepherds, the angels. We talk about the wise men, Mary, Joseph, and the babe which was laid in a manger. If we're not careful, the annual handling of this precious truth may cause us to take it for granted. And that's a dangerous thing to do. We know all the details, and if we're not careful, our familiarity with the Christmas story can cause us to overlook just how amazing this truly is. And so this morning, I want to challenge each and every one of us to try to see this and hear this account like it was the very first time we ever heard it. I know that's hard to do, but it's dangerous not to do. And so let's begin with the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Who does God announce this birth to? Who would you expect God to make this announcement to? We could see how God might choose to announce the birth of Christ to Herod the king. We could understand if God was to announce and make this great announcement of the birth of the Lord in some splendid ceremony there in the temple led by the high priest. But we have trouble understanding why he would choose a ragtag band of shepherds out in a field to make this great announcement to. The announcement of the birth of the Son of God is not made to a king in a palace. It's not made to a priest in a temple. It's not made to the wealthy or the religious elite or to the most important people in the land. The announcement of the birth of the Messiah, of the one who would grow up and die on the cross for the sins of the world, was made to a group of shepherds and outcasts. At best, the shepherds were common, ordinary men. They were not, by the stretch of the imagination, the social elite of their day. No, my friend, at worst, they were vile, dirty men who were, for the most part, social and religious outcasts. They were looked down upon. They were the lowest of the low. Listen to this. In studying for this message, I never knew this, but I learned that there was nobody more looked down on out when you're thinking about the shepherds. They were looked down on to the lowest degree. The only people that were looked down on more than them, the only people that were more outcast than the shepherds, were the leper and the leprous colonies. So why would God make this great announcement that his son was coming to the world to this ragtag bunch of outcasts? Most likely, these shepherds were tending their sheep just outside of Bethlehem. By all accounts, they were tending sheep that were being raised for the use in sacrifices down at the temple in Jerusalem. I preached a message last year on the shepherds and how they would go through all the hard work and raising these sheep and raising these animals so that they could go to the sacrifice. And they did all that, but they weren't even welcome to be at the temple. They were the last group of people that you'd ever expect God to make this kind of announcement to. However, God does things for a reason. And God had a profound and a powerful reason in making this announcement to the shepherds, in introducing the shepherd to these shepherds. God had a reason. God had a purpose. In spite of who men would have chosen, these shepherds were the very group of men that was chosen to hear the glorious news of the Savior's birth. This account of God's announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds contains some very important truths. These truths are still vitally important to me and to you this morning. And so I want you to try your best this morning for the few moments we have remaining to go back and travel back with me 2,000 years and put yourself out in a field and walk out in a field with me and see the sheep that are scattered and see the staffs in the hands of those shepherds, these outcasts, these dirty, vile, wicked men, and be out in the field and go with me on this journey as we see Jesus being introduced to the world. Number one, let me say, I want you to notice the astonishment that these shepherds experienced. They were astonished. Verse 9 said, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And the Bible said, "And they were sore afraid." And you would have been too. And I would have been too. We're in the field, remember? We're out in the field just doing what we do. We're just out in the field on our everyday job. It's nighttime. It's the middle of the night. And it's just any normal night to them. But this would be a night that they would never forget. This would be a night unlike any night they'd ever experienced. There they was, just a wandering and walking through the field and walking through and tending the sheep. And the Bible said, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." The Bible introduces us to a group of shepherds who are out in the fields at night, keeping and protecting and keeping a protective eye on the flocks which they had been entrusted. For them, this was just another boring night with the sheep. Then suddenly the sky was filled with light. An angel descended from heaven, clothed with light. The normalcy of all of the tranquil evening was shattered, and the Bible said they were sore afraid. I mean, imagine just being a normal dark night, and it wasn't a star that flickered and got bright. It wasn't a shooting star, but the Bible said that the heavens just became light. It went from darkness to light. And boy, how fitting is that? Because Jesus is known as the light of the world. And so when it came, this angel came, and the whole heavens lit up. Wouldn't that astonish you? Wouldn't that scare you? The Bible said they were sore afraid. That phrase means they were seized with great fear and with a desire to run away. They were terrified. It's no wonder they were terrified. Imagine being who they were and seeing what they saw. What stands out the most in the first part of this message is just who received this visit from heaven. The angel of God comes to the most despised of people. He comes to the people who were the outcasts from all respectable society. The honesty and integrity of the shepherds in that day was so questionable that they were not even allowed to testify in the court of law. Shepherds were so far down, as I said, on the list of social outcasts that the only people lower were the lepers. I believe that God chose the shepherds because He wanted to show His love and His grace and show that it's available to all, not just to the rich and famous, not just to the hierarchy and the religious of that day, but God chose these lowly shepherds, these normal men, these lowly men, these sinners, the lowest of the low. God was making a point. God was making a powerful point that He came not just for those who was good and who had a good standing in the community, but He was coming to those that were in need of a Savior. He was coming to those who didn't have two pennies to rub together. He was coming to those who couldn't get to God by themselves. He came to save the world, and He came and chose to introduce the shepherd to these shepherds, because how better could He show His love and His grace and His glory than to give it to the one, to introduce His Son first and foremost to who society looked down on the most? Ain't you glad God ain't a respecter of persons? Ain't you glad He does not show more respect to kings than he does an hourly wage earner. You may think if God is even aware that I exist, he probably doesn't have a very favorable opinion of me. Deep down, a lot of people may feel that, like that, but no matter how insignificant you may feel or think you are, I'm here to tell you this morning, God knows exactly who you are. God made you. God formed you. And when you was in your mother's womb, you was being fashioned and formed by the very hand of God. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And listen to me, my friend, he knows you. And not only does he know you, but he sent his son to die for you because he loves you. That's why the shepherd came and was introduced to the shepherds. The Apostle Paul explains this better than I could or anybody else could in his first letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26, the Bible said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Ain't you glad this morning? Now, look out here. I seen on the news yesterday at the Army-Navy game, Donald Trump, the soon-to-be, praise God, president, up in the box. He was there surrounded by the Senate leader. He was there surrounded by the Speaker of the House. He was there surrounded by a man by the name of Elon Musk. The richest man just hit over $400 billion in his worth, and he was surrounded by all these people. And as I look out across this congregation and I scan and view, I don't see any billionaires. I don't see any millionaires that I know of. Ain't you glad you didn't have to have a certain amount of money for God to be interested in you? Ain't you glad you didn't have to be born on the right side of the tracks, come from the right family? No, my friend, God came to, listen, he said, "Whosoever will, let him come." God died. God came so that he could die for the sins of the world. Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white, they are all precious in God's sight. He came for you. He knows you and he loves you, and that's why he came. Can you remember the astonishment you felt when the Lord came to you? Can you remember that drawing power when Jesus Christ came to you and the Holy Ghost introduced himself to you and pointed you to Jesus, just like the angel come down and said, "Hey, shepherds, look at the light in the sky. There's something going on, and I'm going to tell you where it's at. Go to Bethlehem, and you'll find a babe wrapped in a manger. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and this is the Messiah." And listen, I remember just like that. I heard the gospel message. I heard that Jesus was born of a virgin. I heard that Jesus came and left heaven and he came down to earth and condescended to such low estate, and that he walked and lived in this life and was hated. He was poor, never had a place to lay his head, never owned anything, but he lived sinless and perfect. And then he died on the cross, and that sounded great to me. I heard that message, just like we hear the message of the Christmas story over and over. I heard the gospel message over and over to the point it became familiar to me. It had become so familiar I could hear it and it not even bother me, like it does many of you. You've heard this before, but listen to me. Go back with me 2,000 years and let me tell you, Jesus came not just for the world. Happy day when I realized it wasn't just that he died for the world, but that Jesus came for me. And he came for you personally. That's the message. That's why God sent the shepherd to these shepherds to give us the insight of knowing. He didn't just die for the world. He died for you. He was born for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And he ever liveth to make intercession for you. Can you remember that first time fear gripped your heart like it did these shepherds? I mean, it was something like it's been said, I remember it. I was so familiar with the gospel. It was like somebody, when I'd been baptized two or three times. I mean, I'd been in that baptistry enough times. We about to baptize. I'd been baptized so many times. I had tadpole friends that lived up there. I knew the place well. I had said the prayer. I had come and cried tears in an altar. I'd asked God to save me. But hear me, my friend. You must be pulled. You must be drawn. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God calls your name. God sent an angel out of heaven and God lit the sky up. Don't you remember that blessed day? I remember like it was yesterday when God flipped the light on. I mean, my life was dark. I was living in darkness. The God of this world had blinded my mind and I had no understanding. All I knew was religion. All I knew was lingo. All I knew was what Christians do. But I wasn't one. I was in the middle of them, but I was an outsider. These men were outsiders. They knew all that went on in the temple. That's what they had their lifetime doing, was getting all that ready. But they were outsiders until God came and turned the light on. Amen. And spoke a word and pointed them to Jesus. I remember the fear that gripped my heart when the Holy Ghost called my name and said, look at the shepherd. Brother Jackie preached yesterday at the funeral out of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, I remember praying prayers and I'd want to read my Bible, I'd naturally want to read my Bible. I remember after I'd prayed that prayer, I would want to naturally want to go to church and I would want to naturally want to tell other people about Jesus. And it lasts about a week or two, maybe a month. And I'd drift right back into that same old person I'd always been. I want you to listen to me. I'm about to be done this morning. If that's all you got was a flimsy, cheap prayer that did not get you an entrance into heaven, it might have got your name wrote on a church registry to be a member at a church. It might have got you into the baptismal pool. But if old things didn't pass away, and behold, all things didn't become new, and I can prove it, these shepherds, it wasn't cheap talk. You know what they did? They dropped their staffs, they left their sheep, and they lit out for Bethlehem. They obeyed the voice of God by faith. They trusted what the angel of the Lord said, and they lit out and followed to find Jesus. That's what you must do. You must be when I remember, listen to me, this is the difference whether you make it to heaven or make it to hell. If you ain't heard nothing I said all morning, I'm closing and saying this, get this, because your eternal destiny depends on what I'm about to say and what you do with it. I prayed. I cried. I wanted it. But nothing changed. My will didn't change. My desires didn't change. My life didn't change. My want-tos didn't change. And though I pivoted for a moment and tried to go the direction of the church and of Christians and following Christ, it was like turning a new leaf over. It didn't last. And this is what's so important. The Bible said, God said, several places, but I'll give you two. Search the Scriptures to see if you be found in the household of faith. In other words, don't trust some prayer you prayed. Don't trust something you did as a little child. Don't trust something that a preacher done and prayed over you and told you to say. Don't trust church membership. Don't trust baptism. But you must know that there's been a time in your life that Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Listen, you ain't going to heaven until you repent. And you can want to go to heaven all you want, and you can want Jesus as Savior, and He's called Savior. I'll deal with that tonight. He's called Christ in the text. That's another one. And He's called Lord. You can't have Jesus as just your Savior. The world wants Jesus as a Savior. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. But you can't get Jesus just as Savior, because He ain't just Savior. He's Jesus Christ, the Lord. And when He is Lord, then that means He's Lord of your life, and He is the one that dictates and calls the shots of your life, and you will follow His order. What happened to me? September the 21st, 1991, God sent the Holy Ghost down just like He sent the angels down, and the heavens lit up, and God flipped a light switch on. And I heard my mama say in the next room, it's going to be an awful thing for all these Christians sitting on church pews to die and go to hell. And I'd heard that before, but it was the next part that turned the light on. She said, and that ain't even the worst part. I said, what? What could possibly be worse than going to church and trying to live right and trying to do right and not being able to go out and party and not being able to go out and do and sin and because there are pleasures in sin for a season. What could be worse than trying to do it right and then getting to the end and realize you had it all wrong and you're dying and going to hell? She said, and that ain't even the worst part. And I had to hear the next words. She said, and they'll never know the love of the Lord Jesus. And for the first time in my life, it wasn't about me missing hell, though I didn't want to go. It wasn't about me becoming good and becoming, no, it was about for the first time in my life, I was ready to do whatever it took to meet this man called Jesus. I'd have crawled through glass. I'd have walked 10 miles. I'd have done whatever I had to do to get to Him. And these shepherds, by faith, they lit out. They left their belongings and they lit out following and trying to find. And they found the shepherd of their soul. And it's evident, them cussing, wicked, low-down shepherds who was there when God came and sent the angel and flipped the light on and the heavenly host began to sing. Listen, after they went to Bethlehem and saw that thing, that baby in a manger, just like the angel said, they didn't leave cussing. They didn't leave with their flask in their coat. They dropped all that off. They cleaned their mouth out with a bar of soap. And rather than going back cussing sailors or cussing shepherds, they went back
rejoicing over the shepherd, the shepherd of their soul. In other words, they didn't get religion. They got a relationship with a man named Jesus. And if you want to go to heaven when you die, you better get over religion. You better get over denominations. You better get over what the Baptists have taught you, what the Catholics have taught you, and any other denomination has taught you, and what religion has taught you. And you better get to a man named Jesus, and you better want it more than anything and be willing to do whatever it takes. And that means, and he made it so easy. All you got to do is come forward and bow your knees and call on him and say, "Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've wanted you my whole life as Savior, but today I don't want you just a Savior. I don't want to go to hell, and thank you for being my Savior, but I'll take you gladly as my Lord. Take my life. Use it however you would see fit. I'm yours and yours alone." And when you do that, old things will pass away and all things will become new, and then and only then will God write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will never go to hell, and you will be as heaven bound as if you're already there. And you'll have Jesus in your heart from that point forward to walk with you and talk with you and guide you and comfort you. That's the story. That's the Christmas story. That's just the beginning, and we'll get to more this evening. But that's all I want to say this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.